This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm at Knoxville High School, where earlier today, this is the time of year for proms, and unfortunately with that comes the risk of drinking and driving. I'm sure that your high school or probably your kids for a time or two have seen any of a number of types of assemblies encouraging the kids at prom season not drink or drive. But this is a little bit of a perhaps maybe a different take on that from someone with a very interesting story. His name is Jeremy Bates, and he goes around the country talking to folks, among others, and around the world, really, talking to folks about things like this. And he's kind enough to take a few minutes to talk with us, too. Jeremy, welcome to Illinois. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate being here.
Tell me a little bit about your story. From what I was reading, it sounds like that up to now, things maybe the first part of your life were quite a roller coaster ride leading up to what you do now.
Absolutely. My story is not unlike a lot of people, unfortunately, in our country, people that are coming from dysfunction and a lot of drama. The family I was born into, unfortunately, was kind of surrounded with drug and alcohol influence, and it was broken at a very early age. And growing up, kind of dealing with abandonment issues and struggling with self-worth and things like that, it was like, how do you, given all the kind of risk indicators that we come from as kids, how do we still go out and find that life that feels like you're flourishing and thriving, even if it's not things that you saw necessarily growing up, either that be in relationships or in people kind of living out their dream and pursuing passions. So it's like, how do you take that story and use it as fuel to kind of define who you are and the purpose of what you want to do in life? I mean, the truth is everybody's got a story. So the story doesn't make anyone special. It's kind of how you deal with it and what you use, to kind of push yourself going forward and to create the life that you really want.
What was the moment, though, that you said that you could, to yourself, that you could take all these experiences, a lot of negatives, and kind of make a positive out of it in that, you know, you're spreading your message around the world, really?
Well, it was twofold. I mean, the real catalyst was the birth of my firstborn son. When he came along, I understood a new depth of what love was, and also becoming passionate about trying to create a world that's a little bit easier for him to grow up in. And then also at the same time, I started doing drug and alcohol prevention work with a program called Friday Night Live. It's California's longest state running prevention program. And during that time, over the course of 8 years, I was doing assemblies and workshops and presenting at conferences and things, trying to get people to reconsider the way that we engage people in this conversation of underage drinking and even binge drinking and all those things that we know are problematic for our young people. And for those years that I was in there, a lot of what prevention was information dissemination. It was doing environmental prevention, trying to change environments. And for me, drug and alcohol issues never really revolved around the substance. It was more about the way people thought about themselves. And so I felt like we were kind of putting the Band-Aid on the problem instead of addressing the real problem, which is, why do people do the things they do? It's not the substance that's the issue. It's that people don't feel good about themselves. There's a saying that says we make choices not based on what we know, but based on what we believe. And a lot of us come from that, you know, place, which is like, it's just not going to happen to me, even though we know there are all these dangerous things in there. So we want to try and inspire people to see themselves differently, so then their choices reflect kind of the greatness that they know they deserve.
That's interesting, because as I was driving over here today, I was thinking about, you know, and as a reporter, I've seen all the... I've seen the model of the drunk driving crash, for example, probably sure. more than I will sure. care to. But as you say, that doesn't really necessarily discuss the root problem.
Right. There's a lot of shock and awe that goes into prevention. And, you know, I was a part of every 15 minutes programs. We used to put those on, and they do provide value. I'm not saying that. It's just, I think there's a disconnect with those audience people. They tend to be able to look at that and fall in love with the person and their story, or kind of see the scene. But in truth, in the back of their mind, a lot of it's thinking, it's not going to happen to me. Or if it didn't, wouldn't be that tragic. And so a lot of, for me, what prevention is about is kind of reviving hope in people to see themselves differently, so then their choices reflect that.
The sort of shock value then of the car crash or seeing the first responders come to the scene and extricate somebody from a vehicle or something, that can only, you're saying that can only do so much.
Well, man, you know, it's hard because I think something works for everybody. Somebody's going to see that up there, and that might scare them enough to be like, I don't want to be the person extricated out of the car. In a lot of ways, you have people that up there that don't have drug and alcohol issues that are looking at it like, maybe I want to be, like, I never saw Jaws of Life or Sea Fire, you know, personnel dealing with that. So maybe it's just creating a relationship between law enforcement and first responders with the community. I'm not saying that it's bad. I just think for us to really change behaviors in our country, it's to try and build people to feel differently about themselves than it is about trying to scare them into making better choices. That to me, that's the difference. Do you inspire somebody to want to make different choices because they see themselves differently? Or are you trying to scare them into making choices by what you're showing them?
And I should say, I shouldn't probably, in the way I phrased the question, maybe say that's bad either. As I said, that's only part of the whole overall story. So how do you drive your part of that message home, that story, that, you know, I guess that there are consequences for actions and that sort of thing?
Well, I try and be as real as I can for them on stage. Part of my job is to come up here and show them I'm an adult that doesn't have all the answers necessarily, but that can come up and be authentic and vulnerable and show them, you know, even still now in my life, how the choices that I make are still determined by the way that I see myself as a husband and as a dad and as somebody that's going out trying to change the world. And so for them, it's you're trying to create this picture that life never changes, that life... Well, it changes, but the idea is whether you're young or you're my age, we're still battling with the same things. I have abandonment issues, I got trust issues, I got self-worth issues, like a lot of the kids in the audiences that I'm in front of. And so for me, it's to come up there and let them know that they're not alone in the struggle that they're currently in, and that there is hope in life, that whatever you are struggling with, that there's goodness on the other side if you want to do the work, if you want to apply the knowledge, and if you're okay being courageous enough to be real about your problems and not trying to hide behind an image.
That, to me, that sounds so important because as over the years, you know, you report on tragedies or things that happen, you know, especially like with schools, like, for example, school shootings and things like that. There's always somebody that says, you know, we need to focus more on the mental health aspect of what's happening here. And it kind of sounds like that's exactly what you're talking about here too.
For sure. I mean, so much of the way that we see ourselves and how much hope that we have for our future determines the choices that we get involved with, the risky behaviors that we bring into our world, unhealthy relationships, things like that. So it's crazy to not understand or not want to work on that mental side because, you know, we want to build people in our country that feel great about themselves. You know, we talk about building a wall to stop drugs from coming in. What if we can build people in our country that feel so good about themselves that even if there's drugs around, it's not the issue because you know that's not part of your path to go find the greatness that you deserve.
Was it a struggle for you to kind of develop that message and do it in the way you're doing? It looks like you use music and other things to do that. How did you go about developing that message, I guess?
So I developed it by putting myself in the audience and thinking of every presentation that I ever sat through that was boring to me. And I tried to create something that was different. You know, I don't call myself a motivational speaker because I think in a lot of ways, you know, it gets kind of a bad rap, like you got a shtick, and a show in some way. And so all that I did was like, what can I do on stage that's really going to draw these people in quickly and get them to realize I'm there advocating for them. And so music to me is one of the greatest tools of engagement because we all love it. I use humor. I use some magic tricks and illusions, just things that are constantly trying to capture their attention while you're still trying to create content within that. It's easy to come in and talk about metaphors and theory in life, but if you can make it come to life in front of them, then it's easier for them to grab hold of.
How generally do students respond? And I should ask, you don't necessarily just deliver this message to high school age kids either, do you? And as we were talking off the air, you've been everywhere with this.
Yeah, no, the message of hope is universal, and not the feeling of hope, but the idea that there's a science to it. And so I do work in corporate America. I do a lot of work with the United States military, and I do a lot of work in high schools and colleges around. And the response that people tend to share is one of excitement that it's different, enthusiasm that there's an adult in the world that doesn't feel like all the other adults that they typically come across that are guarded and maybe hypocritical in some nature, and the idea of, you know, don't, you know, do as I say, not as I do kind of deal. But there's also times when teachers leave the program and they're like, I think I needed this more than my kids do, because it is so universal. We're all humans living the human experience. And whether you're 15, you know, thinking that this is the paramount you know, end all be all in life, or you're a 40-year-old teacher that's been teaching for 13 years. We all kind of need to have our perspective shifted a little bit and be reminded that we have this gift of life and that we should make some choices that really allow us to go experience the greatest version of it.
A wake-up call for really everyone. Then.
For everyone, absolutely.
Talk about I never asked you the name of your performance or that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, our brand is True Hope, and we call it True Hope for that. You know, if you go back into history, you got people like Plato that called hope fool's counseling. You got Nietzsche that was like, you know, it just prolongs man's suffering. And so we attach the true part to it because there is a science. It's really a trifecta of understanding you have to have some dreams and some goals at the top and then combine that with willpower and way power. So, you know, our whole mission in life is to go out and revive the hope that's been taken from people based on the situations they've come from, the educational systems that they've been battered down with, the unhealthy relationships they've experienced at a young age. Give that back to them. Let them know that they're not, you know, a product of other people's choices, but also give them the answers to the test, which is if you want to go out and find this version of life that is there for you, start with a dream and a goal at the top and then figure out how to make it happen and have the courage and the confidence to make it happen.
And again, it's called True Hope that Jeremy Bates takes all around the world. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for coming here, and thanks for the work that you do.
Thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
And we should mention, too, that our friends at G&M Distributors helping bring this to Knoxville today. Stay tuned. We will have back in the studio sports, then business news, and much more as we continue on a Friday night with Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL.